Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, so let's look into God's Word this morning. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Now, you know, we're going through this series talking about walking in the light. And we're talking about how do we as believers walk in the light when we live in a world of darkness. Now, when we talk about darkness, again, I'm not talking about that things are dark outside. What I mean is that we live in a world that is guided by Satan and the world's principles that are anti-God. And so John is coming along and he's trying to tell you and I how and what we need to focus on and who we are in the midst of this so that we can be children of the light. Now, children of the light is that you are basically the light is Christ and Christ's light shines out of your life. And so when we get to chapter 3 now, and we're going to focus on verses 11 through 18, we're going to see that he's going to talk about the importance of something that you and I need to focus on. In fact, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, can you say that, George, that this is what we need to focus on? Well, I realized, yeah, this is what we need to focus on. Now, what do we need to focus on? Are you ready? Love. Love. Well, wait a minute now. Hold on, George. You talked about the need for reaching out with the gospel. Yes? Yeah? But the reason why we reach out with the gospel is because of what? Love. And so what we're going to see is that the important thing for you and I to focus on is love. We're actually going to, as we go through our message today, we're going to look at what Jesus said in the upper room right before he left. And again, he's telling them what they need to focus on. Love. So I think that's very interesting because today we're in a world that is filled with what? Hate. Right? Hate. I mean, just think about it. We just had an election, and one side won, the other side lost, and even though we've settled it as far as who's going to be the president now, that hasn't removed the rhetoric, right? That hasn't removed the strong feelings that people have, one way or the other. And in fact, what we see, though, is that there is still very much a part of our culture, which is unsaved, what? Hate. You thought this would end it, right? Well, can I be honest with you? It's as old as Satan. Hate. In fact, it's going to refer to something that happened the very first incident after Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden to have their children. Hate. So we're going to talk about the importance of love today. So what I want you to do, let's look at what John is saying here to these believers that he's hopefully saying to you and I. Here's what he writes. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take this section of verses, I'm going to divide it into four parts to help you and I to understand. Okay, four parts to help you and I understand how important love is and about you and I needing to be, can I be honest with you? Vehicles of love. Vehicles of love, okay? So here it is. Let's talk about the old message. That's what he's saying here in verse 11. Look again what he says. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. So this is the message from the beginning. What's he talking about here? That we should love one another. So we have to focus on a foundational message. Loving each other is a foundational message. We got to focus on that. How do you know it's foundational, George? I thought it was about me being forgiven. Well, yeah, you're forgiven because who loved you? God. See, at the foundation of everything that you and I rest in as far as our faith is one word, love. And as you are loved by God, what should flow out of you then? What? Love. So our focus has to be on a foundational message. I thought it's we should focus on what's right versus what's wrong and standing up for what's right and taking a stand. Okay, if you want to take a stand, take a stand on love. Because love should guide all of your actions, right? And the way that you talk to people and the way that you interact with people. Because you love them, you love them, you should be loving them hopefully into the kingdom, right? This is the point. It's a foundational message. So what is it? We must love each other. We got to love each other. Well, I don't know that I can love somebody because they really irritate me. Okay, yeah, I understand there are times when I don't feel loving feelings either. But hopefully they pass, right? And if they don't pass, then there's something wrong with who? Me. We must love each other. In fact, here's what Jesus said. You say, oh, that's just John, George. I don't know that I should do that. Listen to what Jesus said. Should we do what Jesus said? Here's what he says. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. All right, let's stop for a moment. How did Jesus say that people are going to know that you are a Christ follower? Because you stand up and say you're a Christian? Because you were baptized? How did he say you were going to be known as a Christian here? By your what? Love. By your genuine love for each other. He is the one. It's an old message. We got to love each other. Now, he's going to contrast that now. Because you might be saying, well, you know, it's hard because you don't know what people have done to me and it's hard for me to have feelings for people who've hurt me. I understand that completely. I think everybody here understands that completely. There's not a human being alive that has not had somebody do them wrong, do them dirty, hurt them in a bad way. I'm just telling you right now, if you can say that's never happened to me, man, we need to talk to you. Because every human being here has had somebody do them wrong. Somebody who has hurt them in a profound way. And not just once, but sometimes multiple times. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here's what I want you to understand. Even though those profound things happen that hurt us so much, he still calls us to what? Love. And what he calls us not to do is what? Hate. So I want you to notice with me verses 12 to 13. He's going to talk about hatred exposed. Hate exposed here. Look at what he says. We should not be like Cain. Now everybody know who Cain is, right? One of the very first Bible stories you hear about, right? Cain and Abel. From Sunday school, you know the story, right? Abel offered his sacrifice of a lamb. Cain offered his sacrifice from his, and God didn't like his offering, and so guess what? He got jealous, and he killed Abel. We understand that. So here's what he says, verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Verse 13. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Two things I want you to see about hatred expressed. First of all, we should not be like Cain, who hated his brother. I think it's interesting. We're going to see it here in a moment by referring something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. The reality is that are there times when you hate someone? Yeah, I think we can admit that, right? The reality is that when you have that hatred, Jesus equates that with, are you ready? Murder. You may not have physically murdered them, but you have murdered them in your what? Heart. And for some, that happens many times over. Brooding over it. He's saying, don't be like Cain. Because Cain was a child of who? The devil. What does that mean? He was sold out to the devil? No. He was unsaved. He wasn't a believer. Think about that. He's interacting with God, but he doesn't believe. Interacts with God, knows he's got to make a sacrifice, knows what happened to his mom and dad, knows they're no longer in Eden, has heard about Eden. Think about that. He doesn't believe. And out of that unbelief comes his hatred towards his own brother. So he kills him. So John is using an extreme example here to say to you, you need to love. Don't be like Cain. Because let's stop for a moment. Let's be honest. You say, oh, I've got some feelings here. I think I can control them. Really? Can you? Have you really tried to control hate in your life? Have you ever met somebody who tried to control it? How do they do with that? How good are they at keeping it under control? They're not, are they? Hatred's like a fire. It consumes you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It consumes you. In fact, it's the thing that marks our culture. In fact, that's the next point he points up here. Verse 13. Look at what he says. Don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. So here's my point. We should not be shocked that the world hates believers. I'm amazed sometimes that we get to the place where we think that we can finally be accepted by unbelievers in this world. If we just do this, or if we just do that, if we just explain ourselves, then people will understand. Then people will do this. I'll never forget it. I was watching an interview. It happened after, do you guys remember the Passion of the Christ movie? And do you remember the backlash that happened because of that movie in the press and the news and so forth? And so they had a guy on there from one of the Jewish groups really blasting the movie and how blasphemous it was and how terrible it was and how it portrayed the Jews in the wrong way. And then they had a really well-known Christian guy, man of integrity, gets up afterwards and tries to explain why this movie is not bad. And he couldn't do it. I mean, I agreed with everything he said, but it wasn't making a dent because unbelievers already have a predisposition against who? Believers, because we follow who, folks? Jesus. In fact, here's what Jesus says. John 15, again, the upper room, verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Do you understand? Not everybody's going to be happy that you love Jesus. Not everybody's going to be happy about your Christianity. This is the bottom line. So he's trying to say, so what do we do then? Don't get wrapped up in hate, because that's hatred is the mark of the world. But I'm telling you how you need to act. A new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another. So here's what I want you to see. We're going to look, first of all, verse 14 and 15, we're going to see how love reveals who we are. And then 16 through 18 is going to talk about love being expressed. So if you want to talk about who we are, let's talk about your love. So look with me, first of all, 14 and 15. Here's what he says. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. So here it is, first evidence that shows that you are saved. Because you love the brothers. Now, who's the brothers, George? Is that my physical brothers? No. The brothers refers to who? Believers. The first evidence of your faith is that you love each other. Here's what it is. That you love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoa. We'll talk about that in a moment. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. All right, here it is. Let's look at it. First of all, love revealed. First of all, the love or the lack of it reveals your true spiritual condition. So let me just be honest with you. You want to know where you're at in your relationship with God? It's not how many times a day do you pray or how many times you're reading the Bible in a week. You want to know where you are in your relationship with God? It's not how much you give in the offering. You want me to tell you how you can know that's not a way of testing it? It's how many times you show up here or what Bible study you're involved with. Or who you're listening to on the radio, or if you're listening to Christian radio. None of that doesn't reveal anything about you. It might reveal you're religious, but that doesn't truly show who you are. You want to know how you can really know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? Love. Do you love the believers? Now, I'm for years, I'll be honest with you, I was confused by that. What do you mean? Because I can think back when I was a younger Christian, before I became a pastor, and even after I became a pastor in my earlier years, I was confused by the churches that I attended having individuals who professed great faith, could answer Bible questions, prayed great prayers, but then were the most hateful, mean, miserable people that I had ever seen towards others in church. You know what I'm talking about, right? It was a great contradiction, and I couldn't wrap my brain around it. How's that possible? John is saying here, it's not possible. Because look at what he says. Look at what verse 14 speaks for itself. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, what's that death? Is it physical death? No, spiritual death. It means they're not saved. It's not saved. You say, well, what do you mean, George? You mean if I'm angry at somebody, and there are times when I'm angry at somebody, you mean in that moment I'm in danger of hellfire? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the moments that we have where we have problems with others and we're not showing love. That's not you're in danger of hellfire in that moment. I'm saying to you, if you have somebody whose life is consistently marked by a lack of love, and it comes out in their actions towards others, there is a big question mark as to whether or not they truly know Jesus. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. Look with me now. Here's what he says. Hate, which is murder, raises the question concerning the status of your faith. That's the next thing he points out here. Look with me, verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So let me just stop for a moment. You say, you mean a murderer can't be forgiven and have eternal life? No, I didn't say that. That's not what he's saying here. Because I know there was a murderer who was forgiven. He wrote half of your New Testament. The Apostle Paul, right? Nobody can say that he didn't know Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that if you hate someone, you are a murderer. That means if you are continuing to be a hateful person, then that throws the question of your salvation in a different place. It raises questions about your faith. Now, how do you know that hating is murder? Well, Jesus said it. And so here it is, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. Here's what he says. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone
who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, is liable to the hell of fire.
This is reality. The point he's making here is that when anger comes out of you and you say things that you shouldn't say about other people, you're in a precarious position. And Jesus just points it. You may not murder them physically, but you're murdering them in your heart continually, wishing ill on them. Because bitterness consumes you, doesn't it? This is the reality. This love reveals where you're at. So how does it express then? Okay, so then we come to verse 16 through 18. And so this is where we need to be, verse 16 through 18. Look at what he says. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. First thing I want you to see here, love is willing to sacrifice oneself for another. All right, so using what John says here, would everybody agree? Jesus, the sinless one, the perfect one who did no sin, being taken, beaten, tortured, mocked, crucified, brutalized, buried, rose again, that what he went through was the greatest show of love that could ever be expressed because he did it for you. Would everybody agree with that? That's love, right? So that's what he's referring to. Just as somebody, meaning Jesus, laid down his life for us, you need to be willing to love people enough that you would be willing to lay down yours for theirs, or sacrifice of yourself for them. You need to be willing to do that because you love them. See, here's the point I want you to see here. Love is willing to sacrifice for others. In fact, Jesus said this in John 15, 13. He says this, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. This is the reality. And then he goes one step further. So that's what he says in verse 16. Then when you get to verses 17 and 18, he wants you to understand that when he says we love, he's not talking about, well, I love you, kissy, kissy, just words coming out of our mouth. He means love in action. Love in deed, not word. In fact, that's what he says here. Look with me. Look at what he says here in verse 17 through 18. He says this, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Here's what I want you to see. Love is not expressed in words, but in actions. Love is not expressed in words, but in actions. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, think about this. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I love you, I care for you, but they don't do anything for you. They're not there for you in any way. They just say, oh, I love you, but there's just, and you look at it and you're like, yeah, sure you do. Your words are empty. Because I'm going through this and you're not there for me, but you're just telling me you love me. No expression of that. Here he uses the illustration of you see somebody that is a brother or a sister and they're in need physically, and all you do is just tell them you love them, but you could do something to help them, but you don't. It's kind of interesting. When I was reading that, I was immediately drawn to another letter from James. And you know where I'm going with this. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. He says this, what good is it, my brothers, if somebody says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And isn't it interesting? Here he's talking about it, the reality of being whether or not you truly know him. Isn't that kind of what John's been talking about? If you don't love people and your love isn't expressed in action, there's a big question mark out there about do you really know him? This is what we need to be focused on. I think that if we, so where are we going with this? So let me wrap this up. I think if we focused on what we needed to focus on, then all the other things that we get worried about or that we think we should focus on happen on their own. What do you mean, George? Well, let me give you an example. If you begin to truly love people, that's going to affect how you act with them. What do you mean? If you begin to truly love people, especially if they are people in your life that you work with, who are your neighbors, who are your family or your friends who don't know Jesus, if you begin to truly love them, I love them, George. No, if you begin to truly love them, love goes to an all-encompassing love where you begin to realize, I want them to be a part of my life, but when they die, I'll not have them anymore because they won't go to be with the Lord. And your love begins to drive you then to what? Pray for them and share with them about the gospel. Do you know what I'm saying? Let me explain something to you. I have family members who died in their sins. The greatest heartache in my life is people that I love dearly being gone and knowing that I'll never see them again. Do you understand? If you truly love them, it will motivate you to what? Pray for them that they get saved. Do what you can to share the gospel with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? The importance is love. Now, that's with regards to our unsaved. Then what about the people around us? What about our church family? What about our family members who do know Jesus? If love motivates us, then we will be guided by things to help them to grow in their relationship with Christ or to meet their needs here. It serves as the basis for how we interact with each other and minister to each other and help each other. Do you see why love's important? So when I read a passage like this, can I be honest with you? I don't know about you, but I'm rebuked. I'm personally am rebuked, and I have to look at myself in the mirror and say, whoa, George, you got a long way to go. And I have to say, Lord, just as you love me, fill me with that love so I can love other people. Whether they know you or not, because everyone needs Jesus. So help me. If that's you, like me, we need to pray that kind of prayer, right? Something to think about.
Hi, folks, this is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning. And I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.